You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Let's go.
So what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans podcast. We are here again.
Where are we?
We are at OSNYC.
Oh,
what is good?
SNYC.
What is good?
That's also how you say, oh, it's New York City in Spanish.
OSNYC. That's right.
You look at this.
All right.
Look at that.
We're learning today.
Right? Remember the, do you remember that radio commercial for the, that's the chair, not me. If it's me, you'll know, because I'll get up and go wipe. Remember the commercial for Inglés sin,
sin Barreras?
Inglés sin Barreras, where they were like, I think it was the other one. There was like, socks, S-O-C-K-S. Yes, that's what it is. Remember, like, they were teaching you how to speak Spanish in creative ways?
That I don't know.
S-O-C-K-S? You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that commercial, but I
that shit slap.
I get the, what's it called? The,
I don't know.
Mnemonic device.
Hey.
To learn. The
Who knew he knew that? He don't drink coffee. That's impressive. I just started mine.
Okay, just straight vodka. All right.
By the way, we've done this whole thing on this camera.
What's good? Yeah, go. Shout out to OSNYC for hosting us again. Incredible, dope gaming space here in New York City.
All the links are in the description, buddy.
Correct. So if you ever want to play some Smash Brothers or whatever.
Or you just want to come here and smash. Come up, brother.
This is the place to do it.
I felt bad about that joke as I started saying it. It's actually a great space.
I was watching it. I'm like, just say it, bro. You know you want to get it out.
Yeah. Christian's like, you ain't above this.
Don't act. Right? Are we bougie now?
Yeah, what, you holier than now? You got levels? You got class now, my G?
But no, OSNYC. Follow him on Instagram, on TikTok, OS_ New York City, I believe, is the handle.
Oh, it's New York in Spanish.
Correct.
Hit the like button if you like OSNYC, huh?
But yeah, you can see all the computers back there. You see the couches. People play this FIFA tournaments,
so dope.
Smash tournaments or whatever, Mario Kart.
Smash tournaments, bro.
Okay, gets a little messy.
Smash Brothers was the original name of the show, right?
Oh man! So, thank you everybody for joining us here on YouTube Live. We're excited to be here. Yes, every
Paolo says there needs to be more cuddling. To be honest, I agree, dude.
All right, I ain't against it.
No, I think he is. He's kind of a cold, emotional person.
Wow, this is couldn't be farther from the truth.
Oh no, dude,
Alexis's emotion to Alexis is straight up rage, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm an emotional guy.
It's an emotion. I mean, what are we talking about? I say this on stage, but it's true. We're Latino. We have two emotions: anger and are you hungry? Those are the two.
Okay, I guess I must have leveled up. I'm the final boss, Latino.
I think you're the only anger, because. Because you're like, the answer, the other one is always no, I'm not hungry. Thank you for everybody. Yurt, says Nitra. Shouts to Nitra. So who was Nitra? We just figured out who Nitra was.
Board Martin. On Twitch. So yeah, we at the end of the last show, we gave a shout out to Board Martin, but no, Board Martin is Nitra M.
Yo. Dennis Higgins just said the World Championship Smash Tournament will be held in Cuckfield this year. Bro, everybody gets to watch, though. It's kind of dumb.
Okay. You know, you can pay for tickets, and you can watch virtually. It's
BYO, and we're not going to tell you what to bring, but just know it's in Cuckfield. You feel me? Don't they pronounce it Cockfield, which... Cookfield. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there were so... What landmines?
So we're excited about today's show because obviously it was a big weekend in the Premier League.
Crimson Pizza said, by the way, hello everyone. Just got back from my trip to Mexico, back in California, and I can confirm one more Latino emotion: drunk. Yo, Mexico parties, bro.
Sure, sure. But even, you know, again, the Mexicans do not drink the way the English and the...
Let's be honest. It's the Liverpudlians and the Mancunians.
Okay.
What cute little names. Them boys. They wake up, they stretch, and before their knees are fully extended, you hear tsk-s.
Right. So we'll sort that out. I mean, that's the whole point of the show, to dispel some Latino myths. So we're excited to do that.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. Go to latinotemperament.com. latinotemperament.com.
Great site. Okay. So we're excited about today's show. Obviously, there's a lot happened in the Premier League. And yes, we're here.
Nitra M is Martin backwards.
Okay. I didn't. It's because the capital M throws you off.
Bro, I had no idea this whole time. I just thought you were a gamer, bro.
S27 said, imagine if Pep coached Mexico and Klopp coached the USMNT. Oh, what a great. I mean, it's perfect.
It should be the other way around.
Why should it be the other
Mexico's
way around?
Mexico's way more of like aggressive pressing.
We've already had a German coach, so.
It went really well.
It went really well. We should just continue
until a minute left in the game against Portugal.
Anton Hughes said, thanks for the shout out last week. Locked in for today's live episode.
Let's go,
Anton. Thank you for joining Patreon, by the way. Okay.
Thank you to all of our Patreon members, and shouts to all of our YouTube members, huh?
Great people. I mean, really.
We don't like to rank our fans, but they're at the top of the list.
They're pretty darn high on our non-ranked list.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, it's bullet points, but some of them got numbers on it, and some of them are at the top, is all I'm saying.
All right, where to begin today? Because we didn't introduce ourselves. That's where we should begin. Alexis Tate's doing it, but hello. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. His name is Christian Polanco.
And then that's it. Alexis assumed everybody knows who he is.
Come on, you know who it is. It's your boy Alexis. I got no space over here. You've got all the space over there.
You've seen his face on all your local department stores saying, watch out for this man.
Don't accept checks. How long has he been shopping here? Yeah, man, it's your boy Alexis.
Okay, yes, and we're stand-up comics. And
A.K.A. Swag Lex. That's not my name.
Swag Lexus? No, it sounded like Swagless.
did you have a nickname growing up? Probably not.
Not really, but
were you like Polanco.mp3 or something? Because you're a big computer nerd.
Polanco.virgin.email.
.exe. No one click on it.
No, I didn't really have a nickname growing up, but I did. I've mentioned this before. I was obsessed with Penny Hardaway and people. I modeled my basketball game after him. So sometimes people would call me
so
Penny.
You're injured. You're heavily injured.
Right,
bad back.
My knee. I was 12 years old with broken knees.
I know, damn. Nice shoes, bad knees. So people called you Penny?
Very rarely. Most people either called me, some people called me by my last name. That happened a little bit, but that's about it. Nothing crazy.
Of your closest friends, what would be the
Chris.
Name?
Chris. They would say Chris.
Everyone Chris.
Yeah.
I got Al. I got Lex. Like as like the throwaway nicknames. I don't want to say your whole name.
Sure.
Even though it's really short. Alexis. I got Lexi. That was from like the ladies. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Swaglanco.
Pegalanco, which is a good one.
Oh, man. Some bullets are bigger. Hey. Thank you, Michael Raymond, for saying hit that like button. For me, the big one was like Lex and then something else. Raekwon was Lex Diamond, so I got called that.
Okay.
I got called Lex Boogie. I got called like Lex Dirty. There was a lot of them. Depends whatever I recently did.
The ladies call you that too? Lex Dirty?
No, mostly the doctors. No, whatever I did last, it became Lex that.
Got it.
If I got away with something, I'd be like Lex Shiesty. Now, they wouldn't. That wasn't one of them, but you get the point.
Lex Flandon. Yeah. Bro, it works.
Yeah. What? We all...
This is a show about soccer, I promise.
I'm about to make it.
Football. All right?
This is the football show.
This is the football show on Mondays.
I'm about to make it football. So we used to say our whole crew was really good at flirting, which used to be called kicking it.
Mm.
So we all used to call ourselves Pele. but Pele blank. Like you would say something else, like whatever. If I made somebody laugh, I'd be Pele funny. And they'd be like, yo, like Pele, whatever. Like, and we just had one kid we called Pele stupid. And which the sound of it is dope. Pele stupid.
Sure. It could be like a clothing brand.
Right? Doesn't that sound great? So we were all, I got Alex titties. Lex that, Pete's Alexis. Hey, let's go. P-Funk and Lexus. What kind of wacky morning radio show? Hey.
Welcome, I'm P-Funk.
PFC Vanderson, Lex Fashion Club. That's Lex VP to you, good sir.
Joe Whitlock said, I had a friend named Lucy whose AIM name when she was a teen was Loose Dog.
Hey. Whoops is right. Yeah, there's a comic in L.A. who calls herself The Machine. I was like, you did not want to be called that in my high school. Or maybe you did. You know, you got a lot of protein.
Okay.
Pele stupid. See, we're made it about football, mate.
and now you host a show on Complex called Kicking It.
Yeah, Kicking It.
Look at that. Where,
crazy.
Where you,
I didn't put two and two together.
Where you flirt with Flex.
Yeah. Oh, too bad his name isn't Flexible.
All right. Let's start today with what's the title? The title of on this YouTube. I didn't even look.
He wants to introduce himself, doesn't even know the title.
Is Klopp a better manager?
Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game.
What are your immediate thoughts from that match?
Immediate thoughts, and I was...
I think it's stupid. It's Pele stupid.
It's Pele stupid.
That
right?
It ended in a draw.
I was talking to a couple folks yesterday.
Klopp.
I was talking to Jurgen. I called him.
Jurgen, baby.
I speak fluent German with him. It's really, it's a good.
Guten Tag.
I need to practice with somebody.
Guten Tag, Jurg.
I was talking
Jurgie, baby.
To some folks from NYCFC who play on Cooligans FC. We were talking about the game yesterday. And the City Liverpool game, not our match. Anyway, we were. And my first reaction to that game was that it's incredible how Manchester City and Liverpool can appear so dominant against all the other 18 Premier League teams, but when they play each other, they make mistakes like they have the shittest defenses in the league. Like they forget how to like
right.
defend. But we know that they're very good both on both sides.
Right.
But there's something they're clearly so good that they make each other's defenders look Pele stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Just hey, Pele stupid. I think he's out of jail now, dude. I think he's good. I think he's out. Hopefully you're reacting to society positively. You back, baby. They can't hold
that's
you
what,
down
that's
too
what,
long.
That's what rehabilitation is about.
Yeah, okay, man. They can't hold you down too long, Pele stupid.
All right.
Maybe now you are Pele assimilating to society. So I agree with you, and I think it's one of those things of like, imagine you had two boxers who were really good at hooks.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Even if you're good at defending against the hooks, this other guy is also as good as you at hooks. So you're just going to get a lot of punches being that are connecting. And I think that's what you're talking about. I think that's what you saw.
Yeah, and there's clearly, there's a lot of the conversation, and I don't know who is responsible for this or who. People want this to be a rivalry, whether it's like the broadcasters. Whether it's NBC.
Well, I mean, the winner, if there was a winner, it would have pretty much dictated the title.
Sure. Right. And I think the result, who do you think the result favors more? This draw.
So there's a lot that I have to say with regard to that answer. But, and this goes into who is the better manager. To some degree, it looks like it felt a little bit like the handing of the baton from Pep being the main focus of the league as the best manager to Klopp. But you had some major issues. There were some glaring issues. No Ruben Diaz for City.
Yeah.
Huge. That's massive. That's the guy they brought in that basically won them the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know. But this is I was thinking about this. I'm like, Manchester City has so a ridiculous amount of depth at center back that it's comical almost.
Yeah,
right?
But you're going against the other best team.
Right.
But, you don't want to have a missing piece. And then on the other side, you got Trent Alexander just being like, not here to defend my team. I'm gonna just let these dudes go by me.
Well, there was that, like, Klopp keeps getting that question. I saw there was a comment from a game a couple months ago where
they kept asking what that mouth do.
They keep it. Yeah. Just week in after week. We see them teeth.
Yo, let me hold your ears, my G.
Wildly disrespectful.
Have you heard our show before? I love the parts where I'm in the middle of a joke and I just keep remembering no one's going to edit this out.
Yeah.
There's no more FUBO, baby.
Yeah. It's also quite live. It's quite happening right now.
Oh, yeah, no, everybody heard that.
No, but the...
Pele Dare?
D-A-R-E, yeah. Bay Arguna said City need a striker bad.
He's scared straight. Okay. You guys are so disrespectful. I love it.
I forgot what I was going to say.
He keeps getting the question about what his mouth does.
He keeps getting the question about why can't Trent Alexander-Arnold defend? Does he have a problem defending? And he basically said, like, I'm tired of fielding this question. He can defend and blah, blah, blah. But then there's just certain games that he gets cooked. But then on top of that, for him, every time he gets just like embarrassed by a winger or a forward or whatever, then he has like a worldy of a ball that he sends.
That's the trade-off.
To lead to an incredible assist that is a highlight that is seen around the world. So,
am I wrong to suggest that he's he's the Wish.com version of Kyle Walker?
No. Kyle Walker wishes he could send passes the way Trent Alexander-Arnold does. Kyle Walker
Trent Alexander wishes he could defend the way Kyle Walker defends.
Look, are we going to get... You can't... On FIFA Create a Player, you can't put everything at 99, right?
You could if you got the right password, yeah.
All right, you got the right connects.
Why is LeBron out there, bro? This dude's 6'8". Okay, on a scale of 0 to 100, if you were creating a player, what would you say Trent Alexander's offensive abilities are?
Offensive? He's easily a 90-91.
And what's Kyle Walker's?
I would say like 82-83.
Okay,
maybe offensive. I think
strictly offensive.
I think Trent Alexander-Arnold is one of the best offensive fullbacks in the world.
No more editors said by Pele canceled. Thank you. Sorry. This is just gonna go on all fucking day. I can't share anything with you guys, bro. Watching the game, I kept wondering when the Klopp Pep era ends. Does it take an outside force to move either of them, or will they someday pack their bag and walk away? And we're going to talk about that in a second. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, so what would you rate Trent Alexander's defensive ability?
Defensive ability? I mean,
we're sliding the scales. Yeah, we're sliding on FIFA that. Here.
It's going to be, I'm going to say a 78.
I felt like you were being generous there.
No, I don't think it's much worse than that. I mean, who is like objectively so? I mean, as far as Premier League fullbacks, like who would you want Trent Alexander-Arnold to be like? Like, to me,
he's Kyle Walker
defensively. Okay, but Kyle Walker is
Kieran Tierney.
Kieran Tierney, is he as good a defender?
Yes.
Or similar to Kyle Walker? If Kyle Walker is the best?
Kyle Walker, I think, might be the best right back of all time in the Premier League.
That is saying quite a bit.
No, it's not. It's literally just a sentence.
It's saying quite a bit. I don't know.
Can you think of a better right back?
Look, we know Kyle Walker, and there was just an interview, I think Paul Arriola was on the call up, if I'm not mistaken, or another show, I don't remember. And Paul Arriola was talking about his time playing for Swansea, and he said that one of the things he misses is the competition, and one of the players that he faced that he said, man, I wish I can go up against him again, is Kyle Walker. He's like, this dude is just the fastest human being I've ever seen. He's so physical. He's just so intense. He's just one of the best defenders. But going forward, I think Kyle Walker still has some work to do. I think there's clearly better players than him when it comes to simply going forward. But defending,
here's the thing. He has the ability to go forward the same way like a DeAndre Yedlin does, which is, okay, I'm going to let you go up there because I know you can recover and get back to the space you need to get back to
right
in time. Whereas Trent Alexander's game hinders upon the fact, I don't think I used that word correctly. It hangs on the fact that if he's not going forward, he's a bad player.
I wouldn't go as far to say he's a bad player.
He's not your starting right back if you're not having him go forward. If Sam Allardyce right. was his manager and he was like, you take two steps forward, you're off the team, you have to sit back and defend and wait, he's a bad defender.
But is he a liability?
Yes.
I wouldn't go that far.
The man gets cooked, and then the way he
once in a while, everybody does. It's everybody's time.
Only
to
Granit
get cooked.
Xhaka when Mikel Arteta puts him back there for no goddamn reason. We'll talk about that as well. So the reason why I'm talking about all this is because who had the advantage?
What do you mean?
As far as squads is concerned, who had a better? Who would you say came in with a more fully prepared squad? Klopp or Pep?
I would have to say Klopp, right? I would have to say Klopp. If Liverpool, the fact that they've closed that 12 or 14 point lead that City had.
No, I'm just talking about squad on the day of the game.
No, I'm just saying, but I just think the quality of the squad mm-hmm. and the form that they are in is the reason why the title race is so close when 2 months ago we were like, okay, City has it again.
But don't you think to some degree City took Klopp's best punch and survived? They walked out of there with a point. And really, they were a VAR, stupid VAR check mm-hmm. from winning that game against Klopp while not having their best center back, regardless of their depth.
Yeah.
Don't you think to some degree that actually takes Liverpool out of this year's title race? Obviously, a lot can change. But if we're going to go based on what's happened this weekend, and on top of that, next year, they're probably not going to have Mohamed Salah.
Right. So I would say that somebody brought this up. Somebody said that.
So isn't this their last chance at a title?
Who's? Liverpool?
Yeah.
No, not at all. Even without Salah, they'll be fine.
I don't think they'll be this good.
They brought in Luis Diaz, who could probably play on the right.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not saying they're going to be terrible. They're not going to become Everton all of a sudden.
It's not their last chance. No, it's not. It's not. Their
I don't
last
think their title. I don't think they're competing for the title next season without Mohamed Salah.
I disagree, but I think Jurgen Klopp is the most important piece to that to Liverpool's success. So as long as he's there, I think they'll be fine.
Bayer Iguna says he's taking Trent Alexander-Arnold over Kyle Walker any day of the week.
Goals are worth more than, you know. Goals are hard to come by. Goals are harder to come by than to defend. You can find a competent defender.
One of your four members of your back line is extremely important. If you put the wrong person back there, Xhaka, terrible things can happen.
Why would Xhaka be there?
That's what they made him left back in the game.
But they're running out of players, dude.
But we have a guy named Nuno Tavares just sitting there waiting.
You saw his apology after those last two games.
He looked good. He looked good in the second half, bro.
I mean, the score doesn't look great for Arsenal. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Stop bringing up Arsenal.
I don't know we'll why you keep bringing it up. Even though
we'll get there later.
Hit the like button if you prefer Trent Alexander-Arnold over Kyle Walker. And if you prefer Kyle Walker over Trent Alexander-Arnold, hit the like button. Okay. So let's find out. We'll do it in informal poll.
This is a good show because we give you options. Yeah. Right? We're not
we'll
just...
figure this out.
I brought this up before about this rivalry because it seems like the maybe some fans, broadcasters, people really want this to be a rivalry. And in
because
the last couple
the two
years
title contenders.
Right, it totally makes sense, but it feels as far as the feeling of a rivalry, it doesn't really have much contention. There isn't much there's a lot of respect. You saw the picture of Pep smiling with Trent Alexander-Arnold on the sideline.
There's the two boxers that are our friends. Let's see who wins today.
Or at the very least, like when they when they're promoting the fight, they're like, I hate this dude's mother. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then when after they're done, it's like, I don't know why I said that. Yeah, man, I mean, hey. Don King told me to say it.
The moment got to me, bro. Your mother's love.
And that's pretty much.
And she tastes like fire. Let's go. Whatchamacallit, Sate Tali said, which coach is more respectable, i.e., Who is Pele homage?
Oh, yeah. Can we finally sort that out?
Yo, you're wrong, dog.
There's nothing wrong. I say the American way to say it is homage. The British way to say it is homage. That's it. I said there were two ways to say it. And you're like, you're wrong.
Bro.
What are you fighting
about? You know what else? Sometimes I say homage.
Okay, and I think is that the French way? I believe that's the French way.
That's the Pele, je suis, je suis Pele version. Pep said he couldn't wait for their joint Hall of Fame dinner. Yeah, there's a lot of like respect between the two of them. And, you know, to some degree, I think Klopp has done it quicker than Pep has reached this like level.
I mean,
because Pep was at like, you know, fucking Barcelona, then Bayern,
right,
City.
Klopp
is like Mainz, Dortmund, and Liverpool. He's built up teams.
Well, yeah, and he's made, you know, realistically, Liverpool doesn't have the budget that City does, and he arguably gets more from the players that he does have. The one interesting thing I would say is that Klopp doesn't. And maybe Liverpool fans could debate this, but I don't think Klopp has the ability to bring up younger players as well as Pep does. I mean, Pep has. There's been a couple greats, like a Foden. There's no equivalent of like a Foden.
Slow down.
All right, I'm slow. Okay.
Imagine I didn't follow that up with anything.
There's no equivalent.
You know who's gonna like that? Bob Bradley. What you would call it? Very different academies we're talking about.
Sure.
Manchester City, even though the player you're talking about is a local player and Phil Foden, Manchester City has 10 clubs they can pull from. Liverpool got Liverpool.
Right.
And the Boston Red Sox. Ain't going to find good players there. You know what I mean?
No good shortstop that can play right back.
Hey, yo, LeBron, you got a point guard you don't want? You can send us? I mean, it's a different thing to be able to pull from that. But I battle that with Liverpool's transfer policy. They don't pay anybody more than $200,000. They don't give anybody crazy long contracts.
Yeah.
And look at where they are. These are two very different philosophies going against each other. The, you know, multinational corporation versus the we're going to do it the practical, pragmatic way.
Yeah, which is why they don't want to pay Mo Salah.
Which is why they're going to lose Mo Salah and Sadio Mane.
I don't know if they'll lose both.
I 100% will.
I think they'll keep one.
No.
They
both want to get paid.
Yeah.
So if you're Sadio Mane and you see your boy not get paid, you thinking, I mean, I ain't going to win this battle either. I might as well have my agent start talking to people. Sadio Mane belongs on a Real Madrid. So Sadio Mane belongs on a Barcelona. Sadio Mane belongs on a, you know, Vancouver Whitecaps. You know what I mean? Just the greatest.
Just the highest level. Three pillars of the footballing
world. We're all thinking the same names here.
Okay. So look, it's an interesting conversation and interesting debate between these two managers. I think anybody would be happy to have either one.
Said Johnny Damon is a better right back than Trent Alexander-Arnold.
I mean, he had the burst, the speed in center field. Was he center field or right field? I don't remember.
He might have been the slowest human being I've ever seen. Also, crazy right wing now.
Have you seen that? He's right winger. What, in soccer?
Uh-huh.
Right winger.
Yeah, so sign him up. He's like OANN.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, crazy. Johnny Damon got hit in the head a lot.
I don't know what happened, bro. I mean, once you wear the pinstripes for the Yankees, anything can happen, bro.
Bro, it's embarrassing. I don't know what you're talking about. maybe he's secretly Dominican. can't be Vancouver, says Colo Blanco. It's very good. It says Salah to San Jose.
It works, man. I can see the posters now. I think most people would be happy to have either as manager. We are seeing the two best footballing minds go up against each other when we see City and Liverpool. And it's probably going to be that way for the next few years.
I completely disagree. I think you'll see City at the top, depending on... Didn't Pep Guardiola say this was his last season?
I've heard that, but I've also heard that he wants to be there for a few more years. Because, we all know what he wants to accomplish. He wants to get a Champions League title for...
He wants to be Vancouver Whitecaps in the the FIFA Club World Cup.
Which you'll never do it because the dominance that they've shown.
They're so dominant, they're not even taking part in the competition, dude.
The,
he wants to win Champions League.
He wants to win Champions League. And maybe after that happens, if it happens with City, then maybe... I think the idea of him probably leaving, but there's no, what's the next job? I mean, he's had every incredible job, at the best managerial jobs in the world. The one thing that
national
people,
team.
Well, so this is the interesting thing that people are now bringing up because after the game on NBC Sports, he went up to, Rebecca Lowe and Tim Howard and you know, they obviously they're the American broadcast team for the Premier League. And he goes up to them, and Rebecca Lowe asks a question. The first thing he says, he doesn't even answer the question. He says, "Congratulations to the U.S. for qualifying for the World Cup." And now the internet is like, "Pep, come save us!"
Confirm, Pep Guardiola.
Pep Guardiola knows what the United States is. That's it.
you heard it here first, folks. Pep Guardiola has heard of the United States of America.
Okay, it's signed, sealed. Give him the contract.
Pull out the envelopes from the bottom of the table, Signor Galati.
Resurrect Chuck Blazer to slide some bribes.
We're going to clean all the cat dander out of the apartment. It's yours, Pep. What do you need to take over the men's national team of the great United States of America, who we do not need to beat England because we will finish top of the group?
Exactly. I mean, that's obvious.
Sorry, Sam. We have an Englishman back there.
Show us your papers. Anyway.
He shows us how he owns his space, and he's going to shut the lights real quick if we keep talking greasy. Is what he's going to do.
So that was a fun thing. I think the just him, even that little acknowledgement is a...
He plays the game, though.
But he does. Look,
I told you I met him when he was in New York.
He was here
for his cancer treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Smithfield. They had a big Barcelona event. He was still manager of Barcelona. And I walked up to him. I go, "Hey, Pep, this is my thing. I talk to celebrities. I use their nickname or you know, Suze.
Right.
If I saw you, I'd be like, "Hey, yo, Chrissy Virgin. You know what I mean? It's me, your boy from high school." Right? "Yo, Pele, no pussy." What's up?
Hey, that's my name.
Hey, dude. I mean,
I didn't get this tattoo for no reason.
It's on his lower back.
Pele, no bitches.
What a weird tramp stamp. Sorry, everyone. So I walked up to him and I was like, "Hey, yo, Wenger in or out?" I just started an interview. And he was like, "Good question. Who do you replace him with?" And I was like, "Ooh." He was like, "He's a great manager." He's like, he actually said, "You'll be very upset the day he leaves." Pretty cool.
Were you?
Yeah. A little bit, because then we got Unai Emery. I'm like, "Oh, this ain't good." And then Pep slapped me, dude. I'm the buttocks, dude. and I went giddy up.
Alexis, this is live.
Oh!
Everybody, don't ignore that part.
Everybody rewind.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
What a dumb show you guys watched. Thank you.
So entertaining game. Obviously, title race is still in hand. Both great managers.
Walking in, who had the leverage? Who do you think was like...
I would say
a better stance.
I favored Liverpool just because...
No, I'm talking Klopp or Pep.
Klopp. I think he's...
That's walking into the game.
Walking into the game, for some reason, Jurgen Klopp is Pep's kryptonite. He like just kind of has figured him out a little
bit. Kryptonite?
Yep.
Hell yeah, dude. By the way, a guy just rolled by on rollerblades with 3 GoPros stuck to his helmet. I was like, hell yeah, dude. I don't know what video you're doing, but drop the end result, dude. Klopp walks in with the leverage.
Walking out of the match, I would say...
The scales are tipped who?
I would say City. I mean, City should have won that game.
I agree with you.
Yeah, especially... Look, we could debate the VAR call and taking the goal
Stupid.
Away. It's just so... It gets... There's no point...
Also, you know what else I noticed? Yo, Raheem Sterling is starting to look old, dude. My guy looks weathered.
I don't know about
stressed.
Looks fine to me.
Nah.
The one thing I thought was with...
Not like he still has the skills in space. I'm talking
he's
about
like
his
25.
Face.
25.
His face, dude. He looks man. That guy is stressed. What's going on at home?
He I was thinking like the VAR call, like the offside call. It went against him because the dude is always running with his chest out first.
You gotta pull the gator arms back and breathe with your belly, not your chest. I think you'd be all right.
You gotta stop filling your lungs up all the way, dude, because he's always with his chest out. It's a call to make. But obviously, it was just like. Even that play in particular, really, it's like you got to be just an annoying person to call to take that.
Who was it? Was you or the one who put it? Was like the well actually?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
It's so
excuse me.
No, you're having a little too much fun here.
Can we get Pele no pitches out of here?
This guy. Why is he running VAR? Can't be. It's just the same thing with the Arsenal match with Martinelli. Like, I mean, it's
there's that, zero. We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
there's just no
frustrating,
way humanly possible.
Frustrating calls and look,
clear and obvious.
You don't need these stupid lines.
I thought you were going into a Jamaican angle.
You don't need.
Yo,
who is this man?
Yo, Christian mad, bro. Christian's mad when he starts making other Caribbean countries to have an accent.
You don't need these lines. You don't.
No,
they just. I mean, there's no, you just look at it. Does it look offside? Keep it moving. What is the point of this, man?
It's got to be clear and obvious, and neither of those two were clear and obvious.
Delboy Zero said he runs like a velociraptor. It's so strange that he doesn't really need his arms to propel himself to move forward. You know, usually.
Yeah, but you got to run however you're comfortable. I used to get made fun of when I played soccer. And again, we're going back to seventh and eighth grade here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would hop before I kicked the ball.
Mm.
And to me, it was like just, it's how my body was like gain a little extra momentum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's just taking away quite a bit of it.
Yeah. But it made sense to me. Also,
right.
I could kick pretty far.
All right.
I did nothing to help my team by doing that. They were all like, right. Pass over here. And I was like, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, we got... A little old Pele bunny rabbit, bunny hop over here.
Hey, yo, man. Pele bunnies? Let's go. What is it? Barry Gunas says City would have won with Shamak. Hilarious. Jamaican Polanco man. More Jamaican than Oscar Isaac in Moon Knight.
I haven't seen that. Is
me
it good?
Neither.
But, you know, Oscar Isaac actually speaks fluent Spanish. He's, I forgot what country he's from, Ecuador or Guatemala.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's fluent Spanish. It was super, super funny.
Somebody asked me who my favorite Latin rapper is of all time, and I said Pop Smoke, and they're like, "Oh, what? He's Panamanian."
Look at that!
Come on, yo.
Okay, I'm the only Panamanian rapper I respected, El General. Okay,
muevelo, muevelo.
All right, nobody ranks higher,
bro. I mean, okay, so second would be Pop. 4 minute delay to check cannot be clear and obvious. It can't. And look, we'll talk about Arsenal in a second.
Okay, so
but I do want to finish the conversation about City and versus Liverpool. I think City now has the title in their hands. It's going to take a serious, serious fucker. I mean, let's look at. You want to pull up their matches?
Let's do it. There we go. Just the. Oh wait, hold on. I hate doing this one. We have.
I mean,
City. You look up Liverpool. I look up City.
Sure. Okay, so let's go. Match from and let's take out, we don't need the FA Cup, which they're going to play each other again, and Champions League, Liverpool plays Benfica, but that's pretty much done. Why don't you talk about City's next few matches?
Right. So City, they play Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, forget the FA Cup coming up and forget the Champions League.
So, look, they have...
we get to watch this game again, though, in the FA Cup semifinals, which is pretty great.
That should be fun. Okay. The who would have? Wolves, Brighton.
So win-win, that's 6 points.
Watford, another...
Already being basically relegated. That's 9 points.
Leeds will be an interesting one. Leeds,
I think that's a draw.
Okay,
I'm willing to say
but
that's a draw.
But that's still drop points right now would be not great for either team.
Okay, let's say 10 points.
Newcastle,
that's 13 points.
West Ham,
that's 16 points,
and Aston Villa.
end of the season, anything can happen. Last match of the season, but Aston Villa got nothing to play for. So I'm saying 19 points.
Okay.
Okay, now, this is Liverpool's. Manchester United, that's 3 points. Everton, what are you thinking?
Bro, we'll talk about Everton in a moment, but
this is,
I don't know.
This is the derby. I'm letting you pick. I'm giving you the chance here. I got 3 points.
Out of all the, look, there's a lot of games I don't expect Everton to win, and this is not one of them. I can't imagine they get any points out of that one. So.
Okay, so 6 points. Newcastle, 9 points. Mm-hmm. Tottenham, what do you think? I don't want to be the one who says this because I'm going to give them 3 points.
Tottenham, with how they're playing, I think at least a draw. I think there's a draw here.
Okay. So now we're at 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
Aston Villa, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Southampton, 16.
Yeah.
Wolves, 19. Manchester United.
They could win that.
So that's, wait, how are they? They have more games?
They might have more games. Yeah, that's possible. I don't know if they're even on games.
No, they're even. 31. Did we miss one for City?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 matches left, right?
And for...
For City.
For Liverpool... Sorry, you guys are just sitting here watching us do math, by the way. We have one. Yeah, there's an extra match in here for some reason.
Dennis Higginson, Pele, two, rainy night in Stoke. Great.
8, 10, 12. There's 12 matches.
What am I missing then?
I don't know.
Maybe this doesn't show all of them?
No, 8 matches. There's 8 matches here. And how many do City have?
I counted 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
so look,
6, 7.
Yeah, weird. Okay. Either way, we've pretty much said they're even.
Right.
So City has a leg up. It really is going to come down to Tottenham, potentially the derby, the Merseyside derby.
Yeah.
If Everton can somehow find a way
to get a point there, that would be devastating.
That
for
would
Liverpool.
Be devastating to Liverpool.
Sure. Yeah. Who has the tougher fixtures? Probably.
It's pretty even, to be honest.
It's fairly
with you.
Even.
I would have to say City.
I don't know. I would have to say Liverpool. I mean, I think that...
No. That's what I meant. I meant Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah. I think that match against Tottenham and against Manchester United are arguably probably take it above what City have to face. So it should be interesting. Anybody could slip up. So I still think that there's a chance.
Paolo Nelson said, Pele remedial math.
Let's go.
You guys are asking.
The other manager I wanted to talk about, because somebody brought this up, is Jesse Marsh with what he's been doing.
I do want, before we talk about it, I do want to talk about Jesse Marsh. Barry Gunn said, if City don't win the league, is it Pep's biggest disappointment?
If they don't win the league?
No, I'd have to say that.
No, Champions League.
Champions League coming back from that when Barca destroyed him. When PSG destroyed. No, wait.
No,
that wasn't him.
City.
Didn't, Bayern losing in the final.
Bayern, they lost to Bayern?
Didn't Bayern lose in the final and then win it the next season?
I don't. Oh, when Pep was there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Champions League, nothing really matters more, I think, for Pep and for City. Obviously, they want to win the league, but it's clear Manchester City fans, they should have won a Champions League title already. They had,
yes,
you know, when VAR was introduced, they got, you know, the goal taken away from mm-hmm. the Sterling goal or Aguero goal. I don't remember who it was. But they've had so much heartbreak. And this is what leads people to say that it's easier to win the Champions League than it is to win the Premier League, which I kind of understand. I mean,
I completely disagree.
I don't know. It's just a tournament. Kind of anything can happen. It's across two legs. Like they're a little bit more familiar with the opponent. You kind of play the same teams over and over.
Yeah, but you pretty much have harder competition throughout.
You do. Look, I'm not necessarily agreeing with that 100%, but I can kind of see it a little bit. The Sterling goal versus Spurs. Yes, that's the one I was talking about. The one that was taken back that we were celebrating. Yeah. And it was like one of the greatest moments in like Etihad history. Right. And then it was like, oh, no, no, no.
Actually. Yo, VAR is the ops, bro.
For real.
So like, you want to talk about Jesse Marsh?
Yes, because Leeds, they just won their game against Watford. So thanks, shouts to Leeds for doing that.
Sam, you could have just yelled this. He said, yeah, his biggest failure was losing to Chelsea in last year's Champions League final.
Right.
You forget about that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, his biggest disappointment wouldn't be losing this league. It would be losing this Champions League.
Right. And they have to be the favorites.
Of course.
I mean, they look great. Okay. I think it might. Who would be the... They don't get redrawn anymore, right? After where we are now.
No, could it be Liverpool versus Manchester City for the final?
It's possible. I don't know if it gets redrawn on there on the same side or. So please, somebody correct me.
Would that be the greatest Champions League final? Possibly this season. Yeah, those are the two best teams.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Right now, I wouldn't want to see any two other teams play.
Damn, that'd be good.
I think that'd be fun. Okay. Oh, Jesse Marsh. They went 3-0 to Watford. And I believe Jesse Marsh now has
9 points out of 12 or 10 points out of 12 that they've taken since he's gotten
there. To,
incredible.
No, they've lost more than once, right?
I've the last 12 points that he could have gotten, gotten 10.
So it's been pretty incredible because I saw a clip of. Bamford, right? Patrick Bamford, mm-hmm. talking about Jesse Marsh and saying, you know, how people were criticizing the huddle and saying he was like, you know, a bit silly and it was like, you know, not typical.
They're shitting on him just for because he's American.
Right. And
American. You know what I blame is that he lost his Jersey accent.
You blame.
He's from like St. Louis or something, but he played in New Jersey. He was in New Jersey for forever. He never acquired one, is probably what I should say.
Yeah, unless he lost it. There's nothing to lose.
Because if he was like, what are you talking about, huddle?
Yeah, because
everyone would be like, oh, okay.
We saw how well that worked with Bob Bradley. Everybody appreciated
his. He don't really have a Jersey accent. He has like a lieutenant accent.
So, but we should talk about the job that Jesse Marsh is doing because as far as the way Leeds is playing, they're obviously, you know, making less mistakes, giving up less goals.
They're playing incredible.
They're playing well, but
it's what, 8-9 points clear of relegation?
Yeah.
Bruh.
Jesse
Marsh is a better manager than Bielsa.
All right. Well, nobody's arguing that point. Everybody agrees with
We're all on the same page. It's almost like I didn't even need to say it.
Alexis is live. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
So then Beb stroked him.
Joe Woodlock, thank you. Said Jesse Marsh has 3 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses. But more than that, like what I do love, you know, obviously the homie Jack Harrison scored another goal. Mm-hmm. Just absolute banger. Just you can't.
Let's not forget, he started his professional career.
Mm-hmm.
His first minutes ever as a professional player came in the middle of a 7-0 loss
to Jesse Marsh.
To Jesse Marsh's New York Red Bulls.
Correct. And
a baseball stadium. I mean, what a wild way to start your career.
But Jack Harrison, I want to talk a little bit about Jesse Marsh, but I do think that there's something there's a little bit of, I love the level of trust that Jack Harrison has earned with Bielsa, with Jesse Marsh, but
I feel like he had to re-earn that trust with Jesse Marsh a little bit when he first got there.
I would say so, but the biggest differences you see, as far as I can tell from watching Leeds play, is that I think at some point it doesn't become. It stops being fun to play for Bielsa. It
has a point of diminishing returns.
Right.
For sure. Calvin Phillips went so nuts. He wore those brown bag shoes. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
That's how nutty. But like, think about how well it all started for Leeds getting promoted, not getting promoted 1 year, coming back the next season in the championship, bodying it, getting promoted, mm-hmm. how well they played that first season. I think I picked them at the beginning of the season to finish like 8th or 9th. You know what I mean? Like, I believed we were on the up, but you forget there's a point with that Bielsa style, you know, of playing where it's like you're done. You can't keep running at this pace. You can't keep doing these things. Also, people start to figure out little ways to pick this whole sort of man marking style, heavy pressing style apart. And you see that after a while, it's like, it's great to be that change. And now all of a sudden everyone's playing their hearts out and they're running. And the fans love that. The fans love when you come out gassed. But then after a while, you're like, yeah, can these guys get a seat, bro? You're sitting down as a manager and these guys are running 19 miles a game, bro. This feels wrong.
I think that the game against Wolves when Raul Jimenez got that red card and Leeds ended up winning that game, you can just see not only are they happy about, you know, avoiding relegation, but they just like, there's a fun to the game that Jesse Marsh is just allowing. I think he's just like, we talked about it, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, about like how you go from one manager that's like, a strict disciplinarian. And then you have to go back. You have to go to somebody who's like, hey, I'm just here for the vibes. We're just trying to have a good time.
Hey, do this.
And then at some point it's going to run out. It's going to run its course with Jesse Marsh, where people are going to be like, okay, well, now the players are not taking it seriously enough.
Yeah.
And you just kind of go back and forth with that. But what Jesse Marsh is...
Also, let's not forget that this man is being picked on every step of the way because he's American.
Right.
Everything he does. In fact, if I were him, every time we win, I'd do another huddle.
I love it. Doughboy Zero said, if Jesse Marsh spoke like Andrew Dice Clay, he would get more respect. Ooh, he's just soccer right here. Yeah,
I'm playing soccer over here now.
Why don't you bring your balls over here and I'll show you how to kick a ball.
He's got a leather jacket with a collar up. His hair's all spiked. He's got the one curl. Hey, eh?
Call me Uncle Jesse from now on.
Hey, ref. Little Miss Muffet. Sat on like, no, Jesse.
You're going to get a red for that. I promise.
He's smoking a cigarette like I can't even bend my arm. This joint.
Joe Whitlock said, hickory dickory dock. Time for a 4-4-2 low block. Hey, I love it. Incredible. Shouts to him, man. Doing
Dice.
It's great to see. And for an American manager, kind of proving people wrong. Look, Leeds stays up. I'm interested to see what the season looks like next season for Jesse Marsh, having a preseason, being able to like bring in maybe some of his play, maybe Brendan Aaronson.
You saw the fans rooting and chanting as Victor
Horta.
Is it Victor? I thought it was Victor. Victor Horta, who's I believe the director of football.
Yes, for Leeds.
For Leeds, yeah.
Yeah, we should...
My guy was just walking down Vicarage Road, I believe. The Grove, some people are calling it. I don't know what any of this means. Apparently, it's the one street with commercial spaces in all of Yorkshire.
This is the clip. You can see it here. He is... if it'll play, hopefully it'll play. There it is. So, that is the sporting director for Leeds. And people... Brendan Aaronson. They want Brendan. They're like, we need more Americans,
bro,
playing here. So he's just walking by, and people are trying
a player that's not even theirs, and they're chanting.
Yeah,
people are saying, why would Brendan Aaronson leave a Champions League club like Red Bull Salzburg?
Mm-hmm.
But yo, for a chance to play for a manager who kind of knows you pretty well. Right.
Yeah, very well. Yeah.
A little bit. You didn't manage him.
Yes, at Salzburg.
That's right. He was at Salzburg. Oh, wait. Never mind.
He was at Leipzig for 15 minutes, but he was at Salzburg for a couple years. Well.
But yeah, who he managed at Salzburg, who I said that before. Mm-hmm.
This is live. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Someone said, what Patreon level is it where we get the Pep Alexis erotic fan fiction? 500 a month. I'll write you whatever the fuck you want. You got a guy like Brendan Aaronson who looks incredible, but the fact that Premier League teams want Brendan Aaronson, it wasn't like when Breck Shea got bought by Stoke and people were like, USA, what's your name again? It wasn't like that. This is like, yo, here's a player we want.
Right.
And that boy is American.
Yeah, this is it's fun to see because we're not used to seeing anybody really interested in an American player to any degree where it's so niche and so like underground where fans, first of all, any sporting director from any team, even NYCFC, who we've met, David Levy, the sporting director, if he was walking down the street, I probably would not recognize him. I would need him to say hello to me first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be like, dude, get off me, suit. Oh, hey, what's going on, man? That's right. We work for your team.
So the fact that they know who the sporting director is, know what he looks like.
Huge.
Go up to him and then like, yo, I've been following Fabrizio Romano. He's been talking about this Brendan Arrington kid. I looked them up.
I need a here we go, fam.
Okay. What are you doing, Victor?
Bro, where are you going? Because I need a here we go.
So that's it's pretty cool. As an American soccer fan, that is kind of a fun.
Should we be blushing just because they're flirting with one of our players?
No, we have to embrace it and not act like we've
been
there.
Should we be like, yo, we don't even want them to play for your rainy-ass country.
We got to act like we've been there before. And then at the World Cup, when we smash England in their face, and then we're like, oh,
what'd you think, 3-4-0?
Oh, you want Aaronson now?
How about this? How about we hand you a goal for every one of them lions on your stupid shirt, my G?
Okay, that's when the disrespect will come out.
Brendan Aaronson with a nice little hattie. You feel me? A nice little hat trick.
Because it's you know how some people are like bullies.
Mm-hmm.
Like when bullies bully somebody, and then the kids then
hence the name.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then those kids turn out to be bullies.
Because they got bullied. Like how Spanish people hit their kids because they were hit.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's like what the English do to us in our football fandom and soccer fan, making fun of.
Mm-hmm.
The English are just creating more bullies that we will then bully you when we win at the World Cup.
Bro, you think like, okay, so we get to sit at the cool table, right? But then one of the people at the cool table all of a sudden's on the outs. Bro, you're getting your tray smashed, bro. Because now I'm on a cool table and you're not.
I learned it from watching you, English.
Cristiano Ronaldo. You've been smacking phones out of people's hands.
Right. Okay. So that's how we feel about Brendan Aaronson. Well, and we should talk about
100%. That's why I brought it up.
Segway.
Segway.
Everybody get our segue.
We should have CGI. CGI a transition.
Yes. Let's talk about the game. Right. Manchester United went to Goodison Park.
I wonder why you want to talk about this game.
Went to Goodison Park.
Which, by the way, Flex was like, Everton's going to win this game. He said, I was like, dude, you're crazy.
Okay, because
like, you are giving up your season if Everton win this
Harry
game.
Maguire, man of the match
for Everton.
You gotta love.
He might be on Everton next season, bro.
Bro, we'll take him.
Like, we need him
if he could get us results like that. Okay. Yes, Everton wins 1-0. A goal from Anthony Gordon, really a deflection
it counts, baby.
It counts. It was on goal.
You don't care if that thing is bounced off your forehead, off your nephew. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
As long as it goes in, bro.
You could just straight up kick the ball off my mom's bosom.
Oh, damn.
I need these 3 points.
She'd be like, God bless.
So, look. A wild game, and the fact Everton and shout out to the fans at Goodison, the frustration and the disappointment of the loss to Burnley the week a few days prior, and then to get a win like this against a team that really really desperately needed 3 points to try to make it to Champions League, and you look at the player and look, you see Paul Pogba and Cristiano Ronaldo running around Goodison, and you're like, yo, well, there's no way we have a chance, but they found the strength, they found the heart they needed, the fact that they can have that level of energy at home, but they just can't. For some reason, they step into another football pitch and they're like, I don't know what to do. They just cower for some reason.
Wait, what are the rules again?
Okay. I hate to keep asking.
You know what? I will write this down this time, I promise, but just slow down for me.
The offside rule, just give it to me. Straight, all right? Because I don't get it.
So I kick it here. No, not in this direction. I got to go that way. All right.
So an incredible result for Everton, and really, and then Burnley ends up losing to Norwich, which is incredible as well.
Okay, so you have two. You lost to Burnley, though.
Lost to Burnley,
but brutal. Now you have two results that kind of go your way.
Mm-hmm.
You win. The team you're competing with against to not be relegated or not. loses to a team that has nothing that they're playing for. I think mathematically the Norwich is already out. No,
they're not out. They're not. They're actually just 2 points behind Burnley and 6 points behind Everton. So there's still a possibility. So
the question is, you have a horrific schedule coming up.
Is it though?
Pull it up.
It started horrific, right? We thought Manchester United, there's no way this is going to happen.
Okay, what I'm hearing here,
I don't know. You're hearing a delusional man.
Yeah. You, Christian Polanco, you have hope. Am I right to suggest that?
I mean, that win against United and then the loss to Burnley, I would not have had much hope if Burnley didn't lose. That's what I think. 4 points is better than one.
I'll tell you this. I'm sitting here watching that going, I still don't think it matters because you have a pretty horrific schedule. There's some W's. There's some potential W's in here.
Look, what I think a lot of Everton fans are counting on is the home form. There's, I believe, six home matches left, or three? One, two, three, four. Four home matches remaining. That's where the points have to come.
Okay. Can we talk about who they're against?
Yes. The home matches.
Okay,
Leicester.
So your next match is against Leicester.
Yes.
Be honest with me.
Cool. That's a winnable game.
Winnable.
Winnable. 100% winnable.
I'll give you that.
Of course.
Because you're home.
Yeah.
And you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Lampard has flipped that switch in the players. A deflected goal by Eric Gordon.
Anthony Gordon.
Anthony Gordon, my bad. Mm-hmm. Liverpool away.
We're not winning that. We're not getting any points there. I don't see it.
Let's say you lose that match. Does that shift the momentum away? Does that create what's happening with Arsenal after two losses, where the fans are like, the season's over, we're going to get relegated now? Thank you for letting me get all that noises out. I was like, he's going to start talking any second now. No, I'll just keep going.
I think a loss to Leicester will do that, but I don't think a loss to Liverpool does that, because I think everybody expects to not win that game.
Let's say you play well in that game. I feel like the momentum continues, but if you just get destroyed... Because the goal differential also.
I mean, they got destroyed last time. They got destroyed last time at home against Liverpool. So I don't think that's the game. I think the game.
You follow that up with inviting a Champions League club to your home.
Right.
Chelsea now shows up at Goodison Park.
Mm-hmm.
It may very well be that they're not as intent in this game. They're not as focused on this game because of Champions League.
Sure.
They may skip over it. You're at home. You may gut this out and win. I'll give you a chance at winning two out of those three.
And it's also Lampard's old team. There's a little bit of a...
There's a lot there.
And it's at home.
But then you go to Leicester, the team that you said you beat. It was winnable. Mm-hmm. Now you're in their home.
All right. I mean, let's go through this quickly. You bring each one up like it's a dramatic thing.
Relegated for the first time in the history.
Right. But it's like we can't do this for every single match. Leicester away.
You have to beat Leicester twice if you're going to stay up. We have to do the double.
I don't think we have to beat them twice. I think
where else are you getting these points? Brentford just smashed up. Was it Chelsea?
Chelsea, but also you have to keep in mind who are we competing against in relegation? Burnley's not going to win every game. Burnley's also going to not do very well.
Del Boy says Everton will just survive. Shouts to Manchester United in the chat. By the way,
they have to win against Watford. They have to win against Brentford. There's a couple here, especially the home ones, the home matches, they have to win.
It's not enough to win, to take 9 points.
No, that would be 12 points.
You said you have three home
four.
Matches.
One, two, three, four.
Okay, well, math isn't our strong point. So 12 points might be.
Pele remedial math. So.
Yeah. Pele calculator. Pele TI-86. maybe 12 points might be enough. Burnley have, coming up, West Ham away, Southampton at home, Wolves at home, Watford away, which will be a big match for them because Watford is in contention. Mm-hmm. Then they got Aston Villa, which they'll probably lose. Tottenham, which you assume they'll lose. I hope they win. Aston Villa again away. And then they got Newcastle at home, which they'll probably lose. So, it's kind of even.
Yeah.
Who slips up?
Look, it's Everton's fate is in their hands. They win enough games, which they should be able to get at the very least. You would hope they could get at maybe 12 points out
this
of these remaining fixtures.
You both have the same goal differential, which is minus 19. Sorry for the burp.
It's bad. And then Yerimina should be coming back, which is, oh my God.
Is he? I thought he was out for the season.
No, it was about 8 weeks or something like that. So that is going to help so
that might change everything
much.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can last the entire season, if he can give us like four matches,
you're like,
Yeri.
Stop dancing.
If he can give us just a couple matches, I think we can do it. So we'll see. All right.
I feel like you guys have enough of a cushion to survive.
Four points.
Just have to keep, you have to keep pace with Burnley.
Yeah.
And Burnley, I think, has a little bit of a softer schedule.
They're a soft team. Burnley is not. That's Brentford. Ivan Toney plays for Brentford, not Burnley.
I know. You're playing Brentford.
Yeah, but it's Brentford.
Yeah, but I'm saying, yo, they just smashed up Chelsea. Ivan Toney on one again. Cut his hair. All of a sudden, new man.
I'm not worried about Brentford. Okay, but
Andrew Johnson said, as a West Ham fan, well experienced with the situation, I'm sorry, Christian. They're going down. Okay. They're going down.
It's interesting. Baby. A lot of Manchester United fans. I've been watching all the Twitch channels and
the fan cams.
Everybody's upset.
Bro.
People out here are genuinely wishing for Everton to go down. They're like, and that I think is, it's making me
the
like.
The attitude for Everton has shifted from back in the days when they were like, no, they're a good club, man. They're strong and they're going to finish seventh every mm-hmm. season. To now they're like, we don't like them.
We don't want
them up here.
I think it's a. Jamie Carragher was on. They did that show with all the like fan cam people and bloggers and stuff like that.
Oh, what's it called? Like the Rewind or something like that.
I forgot what it's called, but
they put everyone in the audience are like, well, you guys,
yeah,
shit. So let's talk.
And Jim Carragher was saying how he feels Everton are the worst run club in Europe, which. Fine, if that's
in Europe is a bit much.
That's what that
especially
was.
Especially when PSG is sitting right there.
Given the amount of money that they have and the results that they get, and we saw the other day about like how much like the executive staff at and front office staff at Everton get paid, given the results that they like. Sir, I can understand the criticism, but I think people wanting Everton to drop is a little bit of like. Fuck them, you know? Like, I want to see them humiliated.
Yeah. There is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Kick them while they're down.
right. So, I think that it has galvanized, I think, the team a little bit.
It's good to be the underdog. It's good to have that chip on your shoulder. It's good to have that, you know, what is that, bulletin board material of people saying shit like that. That's the kind of stuff
I think, look, the if Everton do get relegated, the people that are responsible are, I believe, the players on the pitch. I honestly think Frank Lampard is doing what he can with what he has, but there's so many individual mistakes that they just constantly stand out. The loss against Manchester City, right? We lose 1-0 because just, you know, not playing defense properly, not closing down, deflection, Foden gets the ball.
Does it bother you watching Real Madrid in the Champions League play so well? Knowing that was your manager.
I just saw a comment basically saying from Ancelotti. I saw this from Toffee TV saying that that Carlo essentially said Real Madrid was the only team I couldn't say no to. It doesn't matter if any other team asked me to leave, I wouldn't have left. But Real Madrid, I couldn't say no to. Which I don't know. I don't know what that even means. I
mean, yeah, you say that then. It's like you marry the girl you cheated on your girl with, and you're like, well, anyone else, I would have said no to.
Okay. So, but I want to get to this because Cristiano Ronaldo did make the news. After the game, we saw his leg. Did you see the picture of his leg? He got his leg got sunk in with a stud, right? It happens, right?
Yeah.
He was obviously,
you play the sport, buddy.
He was hurt. And he was limping off the field.
He was frustrated on the way out.
After the game.
There was a fan mocking him, put his phone to Cristiano Ronaldo's face.
This was the tweet. You see it on the screen there. So it said, Ronaldo assaulted a kid because he lost the game. Crazy. And then in the video, make sure I'm playing it. Okay, here it goes. He's walking over. He's clearly limping. Fans are saying stuff to him. This is obviously at Goodison Park.
He keels over in pain, gets up, and smashes a phone out of a kid's hand.
Right. So this was the weird thing here is there was a photo too, and I don't know how real this is because I saw this at in the thread. Let me see if I can find it. I can't find it. It must have changed. Oh, here it is. I don't know if this is real, but this is the picture of his phone, which is smashed, and then his hand was bruised. So apparently they're saying it's a kid. I don't know how old or...
You can see from the photo, he looks like he's less than the age of 25. He could be a teenager.
Right, right, right.
But he looks like under 25. Here's my question. We're talking about this. I'm not seeing this all over the news. This is crazy. If this happened in an American sport.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is pretty ridiculous.
This would be on everything.
So
that a player, the malice at the palace was, you know what I mean? Obviously way worse than this, but there's that kind of thing of like the player doesn't, I mean, Eric Cantona kicked the dude in the chest and we all laugh about it. This feels wrong.
Yeah, this is so obviously there's no sound, and a lot of people are saying that the reason there's no sound is because people were hurling some sort of insults or abuse towards Ronaldo. I don't know.
And?
I don't know if it's true or not.
Words? They were hurling words at you? But what did you do?
But
you
even
smacked the kid's hand.
Even if while you're watching, you see him limping, you see him clearly frustrated with the result.
Yeah.
And he knows he did something wrong because he apologized.
And then he invited this Everton fan to watch a game at Old Trafford.
This is the weird thing. So this is the we're looking at the Ronaldo posted about it on Instagram. And it says, we'll read it. It says, quote, "It's never easy to deal with emotions in difficult moments such as the one we are facing. Nevertheless, we always have to be respectful, patient, and set the example for all the youngsters who love the beautiful game."
Okay. What? You said nothing.
So I would like to apologize for my outburst, and if possible, I would like to invite this supporter to watch a game at Old Trafford as a sign of fair play and sportsmanship. All right, this is not really the apology that you think it is, right?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being absolutely not, 10 being of course, what are the odds that Cristiano Ronaldo wrote this message?
Probably zero.
I would say negative 1,000.
But the weird thing here is, look, he's really diminishing what he did. I mean, and look,
outburst,
right? It's just an outburst. I'm like, you.
Also, I want this fan to come watch a game at a stadium that's not of his team, just to show good sportsmanship.
Look, I'm curious if they would even take the offer, it'd be strange if they did.
I got an idea. How about instead of sending me to Old Trafford, you send me to A, the hospital, and B, the Apple store.
Or the courtroom where we'll be suing you.
Pony up, my G. You bruised my hand.
Yeah, this is kind of surreal because
guess what? I can't go to work anymore. If this was America, bro, I would have grabbed my neck immediately and fallen to the ground and yelled, "My back!"
It's just a Neymar spin and roll, bro, on the ground.
I'm on the pitch. He's still going.
No, man, this is a move that is like...
Joe Whitlock said the kid should get to slap Ronaldo on his Instagram. Yeah, bro.
This is a...
Hit that like button if you haven't already.
Yeah, this is a thing... Look, because we don't know what was said to him. All from watching the video, all I can see is that he's clearly upset about his injury, and it looks like the kid is like putting the camera lower to kind of record his leg. I don't know. That's what it sort of seems like. And Ronaldo upset with it. Smacked his
None of this matters.
Not okay. But I'm just saying, I'm just trying to understand the context of like why he would have done it.
What's the outcry if the kid would have reached out and slapped Ronaldo?
Right, right. Obviously, this is not okay. You're not supposed to do that.
Oh, my God. Are players in danger?
Yeah, yeah.
Have the fans gone too far in the Premiership?
The idea of smacking.
Why do I speak this way? And how did I get on TV if I speak this way?
I am Piers Morgan. Yeah, I talk like this.
Hello, I'm Pele Douchebag.
So, I hope we're not sullying Pele's name with this. Please, we have the utmost respect for Pele.
Are you kidding me? Pele loves getting his name mentioned.
So, just the idea that he would react this way is, I mean, there's no way to justify it. Even if the kid said the worst thing in the world, you can't justify smacking this kid's hand and knocking his phone out of his
hand. I'll go so far as to say if the kid said, it's my dream that you smack my phone out of my hand, you still aren't allowed to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very poor. I assume that this apology...
John Carl Tritt said, send Will Smith to Cristiano Ronaldo's court.
I don't imagine that this will be the end of this, because if there's no...
By the way, hold on. LK Chugs put great British accent. Manchester United put terrible accent. Come on. Which one is it?
You gotta
Jack,
decide.
Get on the same page. Sam just said it's the greatest season ever. Sam also said that the U.S. was going to beat England. In the World Cup.
Well, it's a shock to hear him say it in a British accent. But
owner of OSNYC, folks.
You know what? We have a couple Englishmen on the U.S. men's national team. That want to be England, so I'm excited about
Especially one named very American in Balogun, bro.
Okay. I mean, we have one that actually plays on the team.
Balo Pistola.
Anthony Robinson or Jedi.
Jedi.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the...
Absolutely can't stand how CR and Zlatan get a pass for terrible human behavior over the course of their career, says D-Stu. I completely agree.
Yeah,
Cristiano Ronaldo in particular.
Yeah, I think I hope this is not the end of this. That apology was obviously not enough. There should be some either a fine or maybe even a suspension. I don't understand how you justify this at all. No matter how upset you are, it's always going to be worse if you smack a fan or you strike a fan in any way. There's just, unless
I think it's a written rule. I was about to say it's an unwritten rule. I think it's pretty well written.
And like permanent ink, I think. Yeah.
It might be written in blood, my G.
they don't want it erased. So not great. So we'll see what happens with that. But I don't expect this to be the end of it. If it is,
Should he be banned from a game or two for this?
I could see at least maybe a one-game suspension.
And doesn't
that
help United? Aren't they better without him?
I mean, ask Ralph Ragnick, all right? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
And Ralph will give you a wildly detailed answer.
Sure.
You know? Homie is wild German. He's like, thank you for this question. We will break down the defensive strategies now. I'm like, whoa. We just want to hear Maguire sucks, dude.
Really? Just get to the point. We're trying to make TikToks here, Ralph.
Yeah, buddy. Prince dead. We need to move on. We don't need 2,000 words from you, Ralph.
I wanted to bring up this tweet because...
More like Ralph Rantnick. Am I right, everyone?
Alexis, when you're right, bro.
I need a soundboard, dude. I might make my own soundboard. Can I plug that in over there?
Possibly. Okay. I wanted to bring up this tweet because at Total Soccer Show the other day.
They showed their ass.
For real, bro.
Wow.
They tweeted after Everton's loss against Burnley. Sent this tweet out, says there are many people to blame for the state of Everton, but I think it's important to remember that they weren't close to a relegation battle until they invited soccer cooligans to visit.
Signed Taylor
Rockwell.
Which, ballsy to do before the United versus Everton match.
Correct.
And then you click, clap back.
Because, yes, obviously the result went Everton's way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure Taylor was smacking a few phones out of people's hands.
His kid got one of those play phones. Like, fuck out that. You know, and this is one of the things that I comedically admire about Christian, where I will shotgun whenever I see anything, mm-hmm. and I'll start just spraying jokes. Christian... sits in the pocket. You feel me?
Right.
Christian shoots once, kills two. I shoot 43, kill nobody, but I maim a lot of people. You feel me? Right. A lot of people gonna remember what happened.
A lot of people are sad.
Yeah, bro.
Nobody's devastated. No,
they ain't coming back, bro.
So after the you know United lose to Everton,
would you forget words, bro?
I'm just saying, I'm multitasking. It's like, what's going on? I sent out this tweet and I put, there are many people to blame for the state of Manchester.
So you remixed his tweet.
Waka waka. All right.
Wow. Ah, bueno.
Okay, I still bring my wax, my vinyl in a crate.
Damn, get this kid a laser disc, will you?
I put, quote, there are many people to blame for the state of Manchester United, but I think it's important to remember that losing to Everton wasn't even considered a possibility until Taylor Rockwell of Total Soccer Show sent this inflammatory tweet.
Wow.
Signed, Christian.
You basically said, hold that.
Okay. Because
also the sign C. You know what I mean?
You know, you got
to put it right back in the lap.
It's the details. Mm. It's the details that are important. So, you know, best of luck to, you know, all I got to say is Manchester United, they're in the mud, bro. I mean, they got a lot to figure out. Okay?
I don't know that it's going to get figured out this season. They're done. Can you see it?
It feels, I get done. Vibes.
Yeah. You don't know. The vibes are punched out. So you ain't in the factory no more. You done, son.
Yeah, it's not great. Not great for them. There's a lot to sort out for Manchester United. I think that win against them left me pretty optimistic for Everton and the rest of their season. The one we should wrap up in just
Arsenal.
a couple minutes. Arsenal losses back to back.
Okay. Pele C, you can call. Like Boys in the Hood, we need to do a drive-by. Wait, what's happening? I fucks with everything you're saying.
We're big fans of metaphors here. Yeah, I don't know. That seems very literal.
Allegedly. Just throw that in the chat every once in a while. Cover your ass, bro, because we ain't covering for you. We're like, I have no idea who Manchester City is, bro. Never heard of him a day in my life. Delete everything. Delete the YouTube channel. Let's talk about Arsenal.
Yeah.
Two horrific losses.
3-0 to Crystal Palace.
All right. We don't got to bring up the point.
2-1 to who was that? Who was the team? What, I don't remember.
Does it fucking even matter?
I don't remember who it was.
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I'll look it
two
up.
Two terrible losses. Let's not talk about them because here's what I know. Here's what I want to talk about. The big issue was the fear. It was Brighton, by the way.
Okay.
So you can stop looking at that. I just don't want to talk about it. But the big fear that I have, and I've said this once before, the only time I've questioned Mikel Arteta, and I've been a staunch Arteta, and I still am. The only time I've questioned him is this thing he does, which I think is a new manager thing. This thing he does where he over-manages. He over-tinkers. And look, sometimes he gets cold on a player and it's rough. He did it with Martin Odegaard, and Martin Odegaard is a better player because of it. Martin Odegaard showed he wanted to get back on the team, did what he had to do in training, got back in the squad and played incredibly. And people are saying it was his fault that we lost to Brighton. Fam, y'all don't even know what you're watching if that's the case. Because what happened was he got pulled back. He got pulled so far back he couldn't do the thing he does well. What? How are you supposed to ping the forwards? I think Andre Lacazette made like 8 total passes.
Andre?
In that game. Alexander Lacazette, my bad. Andre, his homie, his cousin, made 8 total passes. The dude wasn't playing the game he was supposed to play because there was no one to give him the ball. What's the point of having Martin Odegaard if he ain't pinging balls to the 3 forwards? What are you doing? Why would you make Xhaka, who's proven proven to be essential, playing next to a defensive midfielder where he's allowed to take the ball forward. Why would you put him at left back if you're not going to switch to three at the back and bring him forward to play next to Sambi Lokonga when we're defending or when we're going back, and have him kind of slide back if we need to have extra cover? Why would you sit Nuno Tavares? Why would you make these decisions? And again, it's one of these things where it's like, let me see if I'm smarter than the other manager. Yo, Grant Potter ain't no slouch. These types of decisions are the decisions that will cost you top four. You're overthinking it. Taking Granit Xhaka and making him your left back, and he looked so clearly out of place, so clearly bad at it. He looked like Trent Alexander on the left without the ability to go forward. And then you had to make a major change at the half. And Sambi Lokonga played better. He played better at the half because he wasn't having to sit back and having to cover for a guy who was out of place. And this is the thing where I'm talking about, like, the game against Crystal Palace is a bigger issue for how we play the rest of the season than the game against Brighton. That loss hangs solely on the head of Mikel Arteta and his decision making. Now, look, I don't know what he saw in training. I don't know what gave him the thought that all of a sudden Granit Xhaka would make a better left back, but that literally put everything out of place. And I know that there's fans that are like, oh, one player out of place and all of a sudden everything changes. Yeah, that's what happens when you have a system like his that isn't just like the defenders just give it to the midfielders give it to the forwards, and we'll figure it out. He's stringing it along as one big chain, and we ain't got the depth that Pep has. We ain't got the depth that Klopp has. All of a sudden, you get one player out, especially as essential as Kieran Tierney, and people were like, yo, should Saka play left back? He would have been better. And I still think Saka shouldn't play left back. At the end of the day, you brought in Nuno Tavares. You know what? You're going to have to ride out with this guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to just put it on his back and say, hey, like the terrible tattoo that he has, pale no pictures. You're going to have to put this on Nuno Tavares and say, yo, we believe in you. He apologized. He came on and said he apologized. I thought he ended the game okay.
Nuno, you mean?
Nuno.
He apologized.
Who did I say?
No, you didn't say who apologized.
Oh, yeah, no, Nuno Tavares. But so did Sambi Lokonga also apologize. And these players are taking ownership of the way they've played. These are professionals. These are adults. We've signed them for a reason. We have an incredibly, incredibly young squad, youngest in all the Premier League. These are the mistakes that are going to happen. To some degree, you have to accept that and then build from that. And if you're not starting that player, you're not giving them the chance to build from that. Nuno Tavares now starts from a lower place than he did when he played badly in the game against Crystal Palace. And that decision right there may be the reason we don't finish in top four. And I still think we do finish in top four. I'm not that worried. I think fans way overreact. There's Arsenal fans saying they're done with the team for the rest of the season. We thought we were going to finish eighth. We have a chance to finish fourth, you idiots.
Very strange.
Why are we like this?
From one loss to one win and whatever, just a poor result, it really just swings the emotions of a lot of fans. And Joe Whitlock said, I agree, but I can definitely see why he sat Tavares. He was terrible against Crystal Palace. So you understand that.
So what do you do? Do you give a chance? Do you put your arm around a player who at one point looked like he owned that position, who at one point looked like he was so good? Kieran Tierney would have to work his way back into the starting position after coming back from injury. A player that good for that much of the season, and you're going to say, let me take a guy who's completely not built for this position and put him in there? You know what that reminded me of? It gave me PTSD from watching Kolasinac play left back. Why would you take the best defensive midfielder at the time in the Bundesliga and make him a left back on a team that plays fast and free when the guy is built like a pickup truck missing a wheel?
I love Robert Down said, the cold brew is working overtime.
That is true.
And Nick Reg just said top 10 Guerrerant. You bring up Arsenal. Alexis will, go off. Somebody said Joe Willock said the troops begins.
I'm sitting here preaching for restraint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sitting here saying, everybody relax. This ain't over. The top four ain't over. The top four race
Alexis,
ain't over.
Alexis is the Martin Luther King to Arsenal fans, Malcolm X. Yeah. You know?
Yo. Y'all mad violent, bro. You need to chill. And don't go to Newark. I'm saying, look, Manchester Sanders said, just re-entered the chat to say, besides United being trash, we can always rely on Arsenal to brighten up our day. Okay, bye. Why would you come back for that? But look, by the way, I think we've only won 3 out of the last 10 against Brighton. So, I knew it was going to be difficult. I'm not that worried. I'm not that worried moving forward because, and I said this after Crystal Palace, but now it's crunch time. Tottenham are out here bodying people left and right. The goal differential is theirs. It's not ours. I think they're at 18 and we're at 9. They're absolutely on pace to finish top four. It's up to us. We have a game in hand. If we win that game, we're even with them on points. We do need to hop over them because of the goal differential, and anything can change. Look how badly they played a couple months ago. Look how great we played a couple months ago. Anything can change. And I think it will be up and down until the end of the season. I think Paul Merson is right about that. I think we will be up and down until the end of the season. None of this is set in stone. None of this is done. Anything can change. That said, it's still Arsenal's to win. And look, what happened? I don't want to say this yet, but worst case scenario is potentially we finish in fifth. Bruh, we're back in Europe. I mean, I don't want to be in the fucking Europa. I want to be in the Champions League. Yes, Sam, stop looking at me. I want to be in the Champions League. I believe we will be in the Champions League. So up to this point, I still give Mikel Arteta a 9 out of 10 as far as the job he's done.
Mm.
Absolutely incredible. Look how far we've come with the squad we have.
Yeah, and the win streak that not losing or whatever, but put together a pretty good streak of games. It was like 10, like, bro,
other than
10
the
or 11 games.
Loss,
yeah, yeah.
We were bodying teams.
Yeah.
Oh, look, all I'm saying is everybody show restraint. Look, two more losses in a row, let's start burning stuff. I get you. But up until that, we got to chill.
And then with the reemergence of Tottenham Hotspur, who have looked incredible.
I don't want to talk about it.
Really, the last couple matches.
Remember when Conte wanted to leave? I cannot play before. I should be winning things.
But the consistency and how quickly Kulusevski has adapted to playing with Youngman Son and Harry Kane. And Harry Kane is like getting all these assists.
He did the silencer.
Yeah,
did you see that,
dude. It's crazy, man. They're having fun. Is it fun to be a Tottenham fan?
Are we having fun in Tottenham? I will say, if you ask me today which team looks like they'll finish fourth, it's Tottenham.
Yeah,
they look good. I do not think Arsenal are out of it. And we're having a great season so far.
Old ass Corey said, I'd be more upset if we finished behind Tottenham, to be honest.
I, you know what? I want St. Tottenham to stay so bad.
Okay, Chuck said Spurs could be dangerous next year.
It's still Tottenham.
They could be dangerous this month, bro. They're good. They're looking great.
Still Tottenham.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, look, that North London derby is going to be a very, very important match. A lot more important than I think a lot of people thought a couple months ago. Okay. Anything else before we wrap up? We should head out. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Let me end the poll because right now, it's my accent is the best, 55% to 45%. So,
all right.
Thank you, mate.
the chat has spoken.
Yes. Hit the like button if you haven't already. If you're hanging out, by the way, I don't think we have a subscriber all stream. So hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. It's free to you. And if you got a little money burning a hole in your pocket, you got two options. You could either be a member here or you could join the Patreon, which is really dope. Shouts to all the Patreon members that are in the chat. You've got some dope content coming your way. We're gonna have the Pepper Mills interview pretty soon.
No, that's already up.
What's the other one?
Molly. Molly McCann.
Molly McCann interview coming up. But she is, let me tell you something, it's one of my favorite interviews ever.
Yeah, obviously, if you saw the Cooligans Classico, the mini documentary that we did at Goodison Park, there's a lot of footage that didn't make the final cut. So you can see that footage on if you join our Patreon. So patreon.com/soccercooligans. So Molly McCann, shouts to her, who won, her recent fight in UFC, elbowed a lady to death, I think. I don't know.
You know what?
She was knocked out.
When I joked and she elbowed me, I really did get a bruise. So I can't imagine taking that on the bridge of my nose, dude.
Bro, there is that weird thing of like, UFC can be so violent that you're like, oh, I'm happy. Especially, she's the first UFC fighter I've met.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've met
a couple, but they all kind of have like that forehead, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
their faces
yeah.
look like they're made of steel behind the skin.
So it's like I was happy that she won her fight and knocked out her opponent, but then I'm like, hey, look, you really hurt that person, and I'm like, I'm still a human being.
The ends justify the means, bro. I mean, you look like you took a lot of abuse to give abuse.
But we had a longer interview with her that didn't make the final cut, so you can see that on Patreon. That'll be available. available to you soon. Okay. And yeah, like always, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We have videos every day here on YouTube. If you enjoy the podcast, listen to the podcast. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and you can leave 5 stars on Spotify or wherever, whatever platform. We're on all the
we're
platforms.
Everywhere, bro.
Okay.
Hey, and if no one's ever told you, we love you.
Okay, yeah.
You're loved.
There's somebody watching right now or listening to that saying, like, you know what? Literally no one's ever told me they loved me. So
not
boom.
True, because we just did. You liar.
It finally happened.
We can't love you if you're going to lie like this, dude.
But no, we appreciate you guys, man. Thank you for hanging out with us. Again, shout out to OSNYC for hosting us. Go follow them on Instagram, OSNYC. Google them. Go to their website. Honestly, again, one of the dopest gaming spaces, whether you're into PC games, a console, this giant TV that's behind us. They host tournaments. You can play games on here.
Also the drinks. I came here the other night with a buddy of mine. Shouts to Steven Cusato. Some of you may know him from his YouTube cooking show, Not Another Cooking Show. Really dope, also known as the Food Freak online. Hanging out with him, and he mentioned that a space near him became a gaming place. He's like, that's going to fail. No one wants to go to a place and play video games. And I go, I know where I'm bringing you next.
Oh, look at that.
We walked over here, and let me tell you something. This place looked like a bus terminal, dude. Mm. It was jammed.
Homeless people everywhere?
Everywhere, dude. Encampments. No, people were having a good time. There was, and I even mentioned to him, I go, think of, and I go, dude, what's a better first date? You come here, you play a couple video games, you could sit down and play, like, you know, Galactica, or you could play a new, more modern game, Space Invaders, or old school. You could sit in the driver's seat and play, like, the new racing simulators. You could stream. You
board games.
Board games. The whole nine. They even got Connect Four. Like, you could, whatever you want, they got here to come hang out.
You,
like,
can't, you can't get Connect Four anywhere else.
I was like, dog, could you think of a better first date? And he goes, fucking. I was like, okay, could you think of a second better first date? You freakazoid, my G.
Robert Downs said, favorite whiskey drink.
Mm, that would be, okay, so if we're talking straight whiskey.
I no, we're talking gay whiskey. Yeah, yeah. I like that, gay
hey,
whiskey.
Let me get that non-binary whiskey, my G. No, if we're talking straight whiskey drink, I would have to say an old fashioned. If we're saying bourbon or rye, Manhattan.
Okay, I don't drink whiskey. Too strong. Hurts my tummy.
First time we ever had he ever had whiskey was together with me. I made him drink some. We had it in Toronto.
Wasn't that Scotch? Scotch whiskey?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
that's how much I know.
That's how much he knows. He took a sip and he goes, why do people drink this? It tastes like a house fire. And I go, I know, right? And everyone else agreed that that's the flavor and we enjoy it. But Christian was letting us know he did enjoy
it. Yeah, not a huge fan. I'm more like, if it doesn't have an umbrella in it, bro, I ain't drinking it, dog.
That's how you know it ain't safe.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us. We'll be back here. We'll be at the Stand Comedy Club tomorrow, 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern time. We'll be talking about a lot of the results. Shouts to U.S. Is that? We got to sort out all the branding and stuff, but mm-hmm. I guess that's the name.
Somebody want to make that a logo for us? Let us know.
So we'll be at the Stand tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Join us on YouTube Live, and as always, listen to the podcast. It'll be available. Our show is Mondays and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and then the podcast is available Tuesday mornings and Wednesday mornings as well. As always, become a member here on YouTube if you'd like to support. Join the Patreon if you want some exclusive content, and hit the subscribe button anywhere you see a subscribe button and our faces.
Please. All right. We would love it. If you haven't subscribed to this YouTube channel, please do. Okay. Cooligan peer pressure. Safe word umbrella. Nick Red said, sure, Christian seems like a Shirley Temple fan. Too strong for him.
I don't think maybe I've had one Shirley. It's almost.
There's no booze in it.
It's too sweet.
That's all it is. Yeah. It's grenadine and soda.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
I think that's it. Sometimes there's like lime.
Okay.
And there's a name for it if you're a man and you want to order it. And you don't want to say Shirley Temple.
What is it?
The Roy Roger.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Okay.
Toxic masculinity.
There's nothing wrong with either name. All right.
Robert Downs said, I can make a logo. Hit me up. Oh. Designed by Downs.
Oh, okay,
all right,
Robert.
We'll get to it, buddy.
We'll do.
We're going to hit you up and say, go. Go. We're saying it now.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow here on YouTube. Y'all the absolute best, man. Peace.
Love you.